New law goes into effect today in Michigan, a cyberbullying law. It was sponsored by State Representative Pete Lucido in Shelby Township, and he's at the other end of our line this morning. Representative Lucido, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Paul, and good morning to all the listeners.
Lots of stuff to talk about this morning, but I want to start with this cyberbullying law. What was the impetus for this, and what will it do now here in Michigan?
Yeah, back when I was in the House of Representatives, and I introduced a bill for cyberbullying because we didn't, in the past, we used to pass notes in school. I don't know if the listeners remember that, but yeah. And we used to tell, you know, the girl next to us there, hey, I think you're cute, and we would talk face-to-face back then and make our comments known, and people could see emotion. Also, you would go to somebody's house or you'd do it over the telephone. Today, we do it over a computer screen, which means that we are now not engaged face-to-face. So people make comments that are very outrageous, I would say, where they're making threats for bodily injury, great bodily injury, or even causing death. And there's been, and it's a pile-on. See, when you're at school, the bullying can only go for so long because once you leave school, you don't have that environment. Mm-hmm. When you get home, though, you're tied and tethered to your social media. You're tied and tethered to your iPad, your computers, your cell phones. And we use all modes today for even educational purposes. But when you've got these pop-ups going and people calling you names, and that's just not names. So somebody better be very clear out there that, you know, First Amendment guarantees are pretty important to me as an attorney. And more importantly, I work with the ACLU, who is a stickler about making sure that people's rights were protected as far as free speech, but not crossing the line and causing serious injury or great bodily harm or even death.
Yeah.
That's where this line now is terminating speech and saying, now you're committing a criminal act. And the police didn't have tools in the toolbox to ferret out, and now they can at least go, if they know the predator, that's the hardest thing on the cyberspace, knock on the door and say, take it down or we're taking you in. Real simple.
Yeah. Gives them, like you said, the tools to manage that they didn't have before.
No, they didn't. And here's what happened. People showed up at houses and they would say to them, you know, your kid's being a little obnoxious. He's talking about going over there and taking a knife and sticking it in somebody's heart. Your kid is saying that tomorrow when you go to school, be weary. We're going to take a bar and hit you across the back of the head. Stuff that is just outrageous. I mean, I understand that you make a comment, I'm going to kick your ass. That's speech. When you say, I'm going to kill you, and here's how I'm going to do it, and this is going to happen at this time, we're starting to cross the line here, and then we've got a bunch of students or elderly. It doesn't matter. This is what's called non-discriminatory. It could happen to adults or children where they pile on. More people just keep coming on. That's where you start to realize this is wrong. And they did a great interview with a police officer who said he's been doing cyber crimes for years. The way the statute is written, it generally will not affect people making comments about, I don't like this person because they're an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
You can say that. That's protected speech.
Right.
When you go beyond that and you start talking about injuring somebody, killing somebody, there's where you draw the line.
Absolutely.
That's what this is all about.
Yeah. Well, good. And that new law takes effect today. Have you made any headway on the civil asset forfeiture reform?
Oh, 100%. That's been an initiative of mine since I got up there, practicing criminal law for over 30 years, being a probation officer in the system before I went to law school. I found that, you know, police officers have an absolute right to take money, property, which they believe is part and parcel of criminal activity. Mm-hmm. However, they are subjective in their standards because they're not a judge, they're not a jury, they're not elected by the people to be detached and neutral. They are law enforcement, and they don't have any special skills. So we've made some progress in this. We've taken away the bond requirement to post, because let's face it, they already keep our property. Why are you making me post a bond when you already got possession of my property? And they used to set the bond, the police did, by 10% of the value of the property. So if they took your car, Paul, and they said, well, we think it's worth $25,000, you've got to come up back then before the law changed with 10% or $2,500 in cash to go deliver to the police department. This was wrong because you already got the car. Why am I putting a bond up to fight for my own car? In addition, now they can fight without it, without any money being taken out of their pocket. We heighten the standard from preponderance of the evidence to clear and convincing, which is a higher standard and higher threshold. The last part, chopping down the tree after we prune the branches, is you're not allowed to go ahead and get rid of my property. You're not allowed to go ahead and take away my property unless and until you've convicted me. Actually, I have to be a criminal before you say that I did something wrong here.
Yeah.
And this has been my crawl since I got up there. It's like people used to not fight for their property because the economic value was to hire a lawyer. I had to spend more money than what the property's worth, so they let it go. And a lot of these are small amounts of dollars amounts. You'd be surprised. So the way the law is written now is they can still take the property, but if they don't charge you, they got to give it back. We had so many cases where they weren't even charged that the police kept the property and forfeited. Last year alone, it was almost $15 million in the state of forfeited property. $15
million. Wow.
These are serious numbers, everybody. Yeah. And at the same time, like the year before that, it was 16 million. So we're getting to get the police sensitized because I think we've gone way afar. Remember, I'm going to say it over and over. No one should profit from criminal activity. No one should be able to profit from criminal activity. However, the police departments may have overreached over all these years in this. If they take a door down and they find a marijuana roach in an ashtray and take $10,000 worth of property, is this what we're really involved with here? Was this a user versus somebody who is actually selling drugs where that was what the war on drugs was, take away their property so they don't profit? Yeah. So we've gone afar. And now with the legalization of marijuana.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We're going to have a different turnabout as well as with the medical. Do we got to go to court now when somebody says, well, he had one more plant too many, and now I can take all of his property?
Yeah, yeah.
These are things that, you know, we're on the cusp of, you know, the cutting edge of changing the laws for this reason. People's rights should still be protected. We have an Eighth Amendment property right in this country. And as a result, I think it's a good thing that if you don't charge anybody, that means they didn't commit a crime, give them back their property. But if they are found not guilty at trial, they should have an absolute right to get their property back.
Talking with State Representative Pete Lucido, it's been about, I don't know, 3 weeks or so since the governor issued her proposed budget. 45-cent gas tax increase has been the headline, the one that everybody's looking at. And she says, I'm listening if anybody's got a better idea than that. And I just wonder, is there a better idea out there, and when are we going to hear it?
Let me tell you, Paul, first of all, I think that was nonsense. I mean, the debate she had with Bill Schuette when Bill Schuette and her were facing off for governor, she indicated when Bill said, you're going to raise the gas tax 20 cents. And she said, no, that's nonsense.
Yeah.
That's exactly her quote.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, she doesn't raise it 20 cents. It was nonsense. It's 45 cents.
Right.
How much nonsense do we need to hear? Here's the reality. She had said, and this is her wall, everyone. This is her wall, not mine. I'm going to fix the damn roads. Well, fix the damn roads then. But you know what? Don't be doing it with the taxpayers' back. And if you do, Public Act 51, for all the listeners out there, has been 68 years outdated. It's the money where it goes in from our gas tax, our fuel tax, as well as our registration fee. And then Michigan Southeastern, which is Port Huron people, Macomb, Detroit, or Wayne County, Oakland people, are getting only 36 cents on a dollar for their roads. They calculated by the lane, the length of the lane, not the lane miles. They calculated by the length of the lane. Therefore, up north guys are getting a heck of a lot more. So when I did a study, I noticed that there is the highest registration that are recorded in Southeast Michigan, Wayne, Oakland, Macomb, Genesee, Kent. And as a result, if we use just the registration fees, which goes to 100% of the road, the registration fees when we pay the Secretary of State, all that money goes to the road. Leave the registration money in the county in which the vehicle was registered. The reason why, the insurance companies did a study and they said people buy, as creatures of habit, they buy their homes 20 to 25 miles from where they work. They don't live any farther because cost of time, driving to work,
sure,
cost of resources for gas and wear and tear, et cetera. Everybody understands it. But at the end of the day, if I'm only driving 20 to 25 miles 5 to 6 days a week for those people that work every day, why shouldn't we keep the money where the registration fee is? Because that's what the roads I'm tearing up the most. And, Paul, in Southeast Michigan, we have more than half the vehicles registered in the entire state.
Yeah.
That's why our roads look like Beirut Avenue.
Are we going to see that as a formal proposal?
It's already in.
Okay.
The bill is already in. I've discussed it with the governor, and I said, Governor, listen, Public Act 51 would be disingenuous for any representative or senator to vote yes on any proposal of new money for this reason. If it goes through 51, Southeast Michigan is getting less money. We're getting cheated. We're a donor county here in Macomb, also in Genesee and all the other ones. They're donor counties. So at the end of the day, why not make it reasonable and fair and equitable? Change Public Act 51. Everybody will get better roads. And you know what? We'll be a brighter state for the future.
Sounds good to me. Representative, always enjoy talking to you. Thanks for your time this morning very much.
Have a good day, Paul, and all the listeners. Enjoy yourself and be careful of those potholes out there.
Indeed, we try to be. Take care. Bye-bye.